A long time ago, she remembered A long time ago, she remembered her father saying that when the cold winds blow, the lone wolf dies and the pack survives. He had it all backwards. Arya, the lone wolf, still lived, but the wolves of the pack had been taken and slain and skinned.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
That was a really, really morbid intro quote, Will. Thanks for that.
You know, I mean, as they say, winter is coming, and it's starting to get pretty chilly in my neck of the woods. Heck, there's probably a foot of snow up in our guest host's neck of the woods.
No snow yet. Not close to me, at least.
Well, it'll be coming soon. In fact, I haven't looked at the weather, but knowing where the world championships are, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a nice snowy weekend up there.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No, it won't. Won't be the last.
Probably not.
Maybe not. So I think we should enlighten everyone who this mysterious voice is.
Well, my name is Brett Zeiler.
And I'm Will Lentz. There we go. The only two voices that matter.
Oh, wow. Et tu, Brute. And I'm Matt Lay. Rings on the board. I have a Kraken and Coke in one hand and my world championship in the other, so I'm close to both of you.
You actually are drinking Kraken right now?
Yeah.
Great choice, sir. Currently, I am sipping on some Spice Box, which I highly recommend if you've not tried it before. It's a spice whiskey.
I have a Kool-Aid.
You spiked the Kool-Aid, though, right?
I absolutely did not.
Wow.
Takes all kinds.
What happened to the Brett that I knew and adored?
He's house shopping and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, serious business.
Yes.
So, this week on the show, of course, we've got Matt with us, or Rings, as you'll probably hear him called far more often.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got him on for the Lannister portion of our House by House segment, but we're in a sticky situation, much like we were a couple weeks ago, where we need to review a chapter pack that's going to be legal. I don't have it in my hands, but it's been spoiled online, and I really feel like we ought to try and knock that out before the World Championships, since it is legal.
Yep, and it's one of the better ones we've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
You can say that again.
One. It's one of the better ones we've seen in a while.
Thank you.
So we'll probably go ahead, like we did last time, and knock out the first half of this pack. And then talk about Lannister for a while and save the second half for next week.
Perfect.
Right on. Okay, well, for listeners that are new to the mix or Rings who may or may not have listened to some of our more recent chapter pack episodes, maybe we should talk about the ratings. Rings, do you know how we're rating things these days?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm close.
Okay.
It's like on a scale of Zeiler to someone pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
It cried.
Now, we've been trying to keep it pretty straightforward for anybody that has ever attended a school in the United States. We're using the standard A through F rating scale. with in a nutshell here, a card like Mira Reed rates an A, maybe an A+. She's really good. All the way down to Without His Beard with an F.
F minus in that case.
Yeah, definitely. Those are the extreme highs and lows of the scale. But that kind of gives you an idea of where things are there. Of course, D's just never really getting there. C's are perfectly acceptable to make the cut. And B's are probably pretty strong, but have an obvious weakness of some kind. Sound good to move on to the actual cards?
Sounds good to move on to the actual cards.
All right. How about one of you jokers read our first one?
I'll lead us off. The first card of the first half of the third pack of the King's Road cycle is Shadow Killer. It's a Baratheon character. It's a Shadows card, so it's S2. It has one strength, a military and an intrigue icon. It is a mercenary with stealth and deadly. It's also House Baratheon only, obviously. And then as a response, after Shadow Killer comes out of Shadows, choose and kill a character controlled by a player with more cards at his or her command than you cannot be saved. I like this guy.
Yeah, I dig him too. He's expensive, though.
Expensive for cannot be saved, kill, plus stealth and deadly.
You know, the cannot be saved is pretty huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's pretty rad that he can just sit in Shadows, which is a nearly completely safe area, until the instant your opponent has more cards at their command than you, and then you pop them out.
Absolutely. He's an investment.
Yeah. Though, it's already tricky enough to, like, calculate cards at command all the time. He's going to make you do it, like, phase after phase.
Mm-hmm. Every single phase of the game until he comes out of Shadows.
Yeah, exactly. But even after he's out of Shadows, I mean, he's super vulnerable to Targ Burn. But aside from that, you know, one strength doesn't penalize him much when he's got two icons, stealth and deadly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's almost certainly still winning challenges.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to want to block that guy.
Yeah, like, who wants to throw their good dude in front of a one-strength deadly guy?
Plus, with stealth, you tell them which guy you're going to defend with or can't defend with.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chud can't block, the Red Viper can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My problem, and you guys have heard me rant about this before, but without rotation, without set restrictions, and without anything else, we're getting to a pretty huge amount of cards in the set these days.
That's
a situational card. I mean, there's going to be that time where you're one command different than him, and it's going to switch the game real nice. And then there's going to be three games where you're either going to win anyway and he didn't really help you, or you're losing by enough that he wasn't the difference in it.
Yeah, you don't want to pull him out if you're already in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's for four. I mean, four cost cannot be saved kill. Well, that's, and you get a character out of it. It's decent. But, you know, for did you kill their four cost character? Well, the effective net out of it is 1/1/1/1 Chud at the end of it. You paid four, he paid four, and you get that. If he's loaded up on attachments, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Or power, for that matter, even.
Yeah, or power. Yep, he could swing some things, but situational.
Yeah, he's not terribly reliable. You can't count on him to do what you want him to do every time you want him to do it.
Yep.
Right. Well, so what kind of rating do you guys give him on that basis then?
I'm going to give him a C-, only because of the cannot be saved. Otherwise, he'd probably be a D+. But the cannot be saved is pretty important.
That's pretty huge.
Take the words out of my mouth. I had C- in my head, too. Any card that's situational, I mean, yeah, some games will be a B+, and some games will be a D. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's a tough one for me, because this is not the sort of thing that Baratheon normally gets. And
true.
So that makes it, I don't know, makes me kind of torn on it, because it doesn't have just the real obvious thing that it fits into right now and really beefs up. But on the other hand, it's definitely expanding what Baratheon's capable of. And, you know, in the context of their house, that's a pretty strong effect, considering they don't normally get character control.
Yeah, Baratheon doesn't have much other character control, let alone kill.
Yeah. So I'm kind of torn both directions there. I feel kind of like Matt on that D to B thing, so I think I'll just average it out and say that I find this a respectable C.
All right.
Fantastic.
Moving on. Ringsy, what do we have up next?
What do we have up next? Melisandre, is that right?
That's her.
All right. I will read this one, I guess. My sweet, sweet voice. Melisandre, she's a Baratheon card. Weird. 4 cost, 3 strength, renown. She's got an intrigue and power icon. Holy characters in your dead pile count their strength towards dominance. She also has a response, a triggered response. After you win dominance, choose a holy character in your dead pile and put it into play.
This seems cool.
My problem is there is 2 really, really good Melisandres already.
And Rings took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Even in holy decks.
Maybe even 3 really good. I think all the existing ones have been pretty solid.
They are.
Yeah. There's a few characters like that that have like 4 good copies, and then there's other characters that have like 3 copies and all of them blow.
Yeah.
This makes me so mad. But
no, I mean, in a holy deck, I think this is probably going to be the Melisandre. I mean, getting back characters from the dead pile just every single turn is pretty big.
Yeah, yeah, because you're probably going to be winning dominance with that first ability.
Yeah.
Assuming you have any in your dead pile. And that's just some pretty awesome card advantage over the course of a game, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially.
Holy has some good cards. Holy's got nice plots. They have a great the plot that lets them not attack against the military, kneel to attack. And then the one that brings one back from the dead pile is a strong card.
Absolutely. And she can bring back a Red Queen's Faithful. It's not limited to like non-armies. It's just any Holy Crest character. Mm-hmm. Even out of house Holy Crest characters will.
Sorry, what was that?
With Melisandre's response, you can bring out of house Holy Crest characters.
Oh, you know, you most certainly can. That's pretty awesome. So the question is, how do you cheat out-of-house holy characters into your dead pile?
Well, I think that's a discussion for another day. I just wanted to get you thinking about that.
I'll be thinking about it. Right offhand, I can think of a lot of ways into discard, not many into dead.
Mm-hmm.
Neutral house. Get some stuff holy neutral going.
Man, I don't know that that's going to happen. But I'm still pretty tempted by this ability, and you're probably still likely to win dominance just off of her first ability, but part of me also thinks, hey, why not throw in the Iron Throne and
guarantee it?
Yeah, guarantee it every turn. And then at that point, you know, assuming your opponent militaries you or something to kill a character, then you're getting the character back every single turn, which is pretty solid. And if they're not militarying you, that's still pretty solid.
Yep. All right, what are we thinking score-wise for the new girl?
What's that?
What are we thinking score-wise for the new Melisandre?
I'll go first just because I had the card first. I'd say there's such other ones. Even in a holy deck, I don't know if she's the go-to to me just because the other ones are so good. I just don't know. I love control, and I love the other ones so much, so I'm probably going to sit with the C again.
All right, I'm gonna tell you there. I'm gonna give her a solid B, but I'm also gonna give pretty much every other Melisandre a solid B. She's just as good as any of the others.
Yeah, I think so. This one I think goes for a way more specific deck type than the other ones.
That's true, yeah.
So I may lower her to like a B-, but I think she's really going to push that particular deck type. Mm-hmm. Like Matt said, there's a lot of good holy stuff already. Maybe this Mel will be the linchpin that finally really pushes those Baratheon holy builds up there.
Nope.
All right.
No. It's not going to.
I kind of have to agree with Rings.
Get a few more characters that do something, and then I agree.
I'm holding out hope here, but yeah, okay. They don't do a whole lot on their own.
All right, William, what's next?
Up next, we move over to the House of the Kraken. We're going to be going with Graydon Goodbrother. He is a unique Greyjoy character for 0 gold. He has 2 strength, a military, and a power icon. Boy, these stats are sounding familiar, aren't they?
They are.
He's a bannerman and a lord, and has the text, discard Great and Good Brother from play, cannot be saved, if you control fewer locations than any opponent. I guess we have a fixed, here in quotes, refugee.
Yeah.
Greyjoy continues their theme. Low cost, high strength, big dumb dudes. And that's about it.
Well, Will, your first rating on this. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. There's so little else to really discuss about him. You know, I think I'd still throw a copy into any Greyjoy deck I play. So I feel like giving him a solid B based on being really nice on setup and, you know, the cost to strength ratio.
I'm going to have a hard time giving him any more than a C because on setup is when I would want to play him with that zero gold. But on setup, you can't always plan on having more locations than an opponent. I mean, I've sat down at games where, you know, games against Will, you know, five locations on setup. Mm. So, I mean, at that point, he's just drawing you a card for the cost of a card.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Do you think he goes in, choke pretty hard?
In a dedicated location control deck, he's pretty solid. You can count on him staying around for most of the game.
Yeah. And plus, you know, if it's something like Winter and whatnot, where you may be crimping your own gold, it doesn't get much cheaper than that.
Nope.
No. I just say he's not going to win you games. He's going to help you with a little tempo, and he's gonna be in the board and be okay, but, there's no one going to be like, oh, crap, Good Brother's out.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't for zero cost, but it's also not going to be the guy that, he's not going to win you games. He's going to help you have tempo and not lose, but he's not gonna really hit the board and scare anybody, which he shouldn't for zero. He's just efficient.
Yes, very efficient.
Which seems to be most all of what Greyjoy gets.
Yeah, really efficient cheap guys.
Or at least all of their playable guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, with Great and Good Brother, I'm feeling a C, honestly. He's just kinda there. Not bad, but not great.
I'll go C+ because I agree he'll make a lot of decks because he's zero cost.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who makes lots of decks, I guess I probably should be over a C, but I will never look across the board and go, crap, he drew Graydon, Good Brother.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm up again.
I think so.
Still with Greyjoy. This is another Shadows card, good for me. Longship Grey Ghost. It's a location, unique, S0. It is a warship. It is South Greyjoy only. As a passive, after you win an unopposed challenge, return Longship Grey Ghost to Shadows. And as a response, after Longship Grey Ghost comes out of Shadows, choose a character, and that character cannot defend this phase.
So
they really want Greyjoy unopposed to be a thing.
I was going
to
say, it's a really wordy, complicated, more difficult to repeatably use version of Scouting Vessel.
And unique.
And unique, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of better than Scouting Vessel. I mean, they can't even defend, so if they have, you know, a sweet effect that happens, you know, when they kneel or when they defend, it keeps that from happening, but for the most part, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, potentially. I guess the trade-off being you have to win the unopposed to be able to use this location more than once. I'm not sure that Greyjoy gets anything really out of it being a Shadows card that triggers more than once. I assume maybe they just wanted to give Greyjoy a way to trigger the King's guard that want Shadows triggers over and over.
I figure they just wanted to give them a Shadows card, seeing as pretty much every house in this pack has a Shadows card.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of a forced way to do that.
If you're going to play King's Guard out of Greyjoy, which you could play King's Guard out of almost anyone, I think you might include it.
Yeah, if I was going to try King's Guard out of Greyjoy, I think I would. The repeatable shadow triggers are probably worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, there's not a lot to really say about this card. What are we thinking? I'm thinking D.
Awesome. Ditto.
Yeah. I love Greyjoy unopposed probably more than the next man. And I would probably certainly be willing to try this in Melee.
Melee.
Yeah, another thought does occur to me that
I'm leaving. I am leaving right now.
The scouting vessel has over this. It, scouting vessel, you have to use after that character is already participating, meaning they've probably knelt to defend.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Yeah, so if you're going first with Longship Grey Ghost, that character can't defend at all, which means they're not going to be knelt, which means then your opponent can use them back at you, which I think is a little bit of a downside.
Yeah. Side note, whose ship is that?
Grey Ghost? I do not recall off the top of my head.
Whoa! Whoa, you guys don't know this?
Yeah.
I'm taking your nerd card.
Do you know?
No, I don't know.
I mean, you got to be able to rub this in if...
I will say a name, and it'll be wrong, and if it happens to be right, then I can, but no. it's not... I don't know whose it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to run a...
I want to say it's Osh's.
Quick search here on it online. Grey Ghost...
Wasn't Jack Sparrow's? Jack Sparrow's?
Yeah.
Close.
Okay, here we go. We got an article on the Ice and Fire Wiki about the Iron Fleet. Let's see... okay. It says some other ships named, but no captain mentioned. and Grey Ghost is one of those.
All right.
So we have our 14th Melisandre, but we decided we had to pull Grey Ghost out of nowhere. All right.
yeah, we needed an extra one.
All right. Rings of Europe next. I'm moving to Lannister.
All right. That's what he's here for.
Oh, this is Tywin?
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's get hit me some Tywin loving. All right, Tywin Lannister. He is a unique Lannister lord. 4 cost, 4 strength, all 3 icons, renowned. Tywin Lannister does not kneel to attack an opponent with more cards in hand than you. Well, he is, rocks the party. I don't know.
He does.
I'm a guy. I'm not a guy who plays Lannister and tries to draw my deck out, unlike a lot of people. I think he's a really solid card. There's going to be lots of times when I have less cards than my opponent. You can play some things like Rip Small early or do some things that can certainly change it. Obviously, people who like Clansmen decks, it'll be very good out of Clansmen. Downside would be he has no Noble Crest. He's pretty breakable like any character is. He's not. You don't expect him to be sick. Board a lot, but there'd be some interesting decks with him and some other non-kneelers like Cersei and the renown that goes with them. And and he's solid. I'll throw a rating out right away. I'll probably say B+.
Wow, big rating. I feel mostly the same. I feel like his actual ability is kind of a trap. I wouldn't play him and count on being able to get that off regularly, really. But then again, in my Lannister decks, I usually do play a good amount of draw. But for a 4 cost, 4 strength Trikon with renown, I play that in just about any house.
Yeah, as far as stats go, he's pretty solid. I guess that ability just kind of hurts me a bit. Like Rings was saying about there being some characters with like 4 versions and none of them quite get there. This Tywin is still in that boat for me. Tywin
what?
In general is
really.
Yeah,
I play a Tywin in every Lannister deck I will play.
Yep.
I mean, he's a playable character, but this just doesn't like scream awesome to me. This doesn't scream Tywin Lannister like in a Nedley sense to me.
I don't care about that, Will.
Well, good for you, but I'm sure some of our listeners do. The ability to me actually reads kind of counter to Tywin in the books, but oh well. I don't know. It's all right, pretty situational, and definitely plays counter to how I would play Lannister, trying to maintain hand advantage for sure. So I don't think I'll be using the ability very often. I don't know. If I had to rate him, then it's mainly just going to be on the stats. So I'm feeling like a C+ to B- out of that.
I'm going to give him a solid B. I'll play him in pretty much every Lannister deck I play, and if I get to use his ability to not kneel 1 turn out of the game, I'll consider it an investment well spent.
he is one of those ones where the game's kind of in the nebulous and you're in the lead, but they're kind of holding cards back for their valor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, I see that a lot with Lannisters. I come out quick. I have some sweet events. I have nice control, and I don't have that finisher because they're kind of holding back, waiting for their valor, holding back because they're playing Knights of the Hollow Hill and filling their hand up. And he puts a lot of pressure on that game. Might make them valor a turn or two before they want to. But I agree. I mean, he's play style. Some people play Lannister and they love to draw cards, and that's why they play Lannister. And this isn't the card for you. Some people like me play Lannister because they're great at board control and have maybe the best, and I'm sorry if I'm ahead of myself in the Lannister talk, but I play it to control the board, and he's great if you're out, if you're moving fast early.
All right.
William?
Next card, then?
Yes, next card.
It looks like it is a Shadows card, zero cost, has a unique symbol. And it's called the Hound. Keyword is Kingsguard. It's part of the Lannister group. Strength of 4, military icon, House Lannister only. No attachments except weapon. The Hound gets +1 for strength for each card in Shadows.
So just here, does Will sound kind of girly?
Really sexy. Will, you're turning me on a bit right now.
More than usual.
That was the game plan.
You're making me blush over here.
Gonna call in that no-come worlds.
I'll be stuffed with cookies, so it won't matter.
And I will be stuffed with. I'm not gonna go there.
Also cookies.
Bunch of dudes.
Like 12 dudes.
So the Hound.
So the Hound.
I mean, he's pretty efficient. He basically comes out to be 2 gold for 4 strength, which I like. But, I mean, that's about it. I mean, he'll probably actually have another strength or two past that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're not going to be giving him any more icons since he's no attachments except weapon. He doesn't have any useful keywords, really, stealth or deadly or renown or something. So he's just a big, dumb dude.
Just a big beat stick, just like pretty much all the other hounds in the game are.
Yeah, which, you know what? I don't play any of the other hounds. In Lannister, I don't want a big, dumb dude. I want cards that do something.
Really? I'm starting to love the Prince of the Sun Hound. First setup for Alls Entirely.
Which one's that?
The 1 cost, 4 strength that gets bounced back to hand when a character's strength is lowered.
Yeah.
I've come around that guy in a big way.
Are you comboing him some stuff? Or
no, he's just a cheap beat stick.
God, I see so much strength reduction, I always get pissed off.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. Worst case scenario, just a 1 cost that goes back to my hand.
Sure. No, I agree. I like the 2-4 where you discard a card. I mean, I love playing Stark and having some big beefy dudes out and knowing I'm going to win a military challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this guy will probably only be played in Kingsguard Lanny.
Or Shadows Lanny in general, maybe. In a Tunnels deck.
Yep, Tunnels.
He's going to get huge.
Yep, for sure.
He's still just got that one icon, though, in the Tunnels deck. You know, it's just... one trick card. I mean, I do, but... You know, most of the time when I'm playing Lannister or something, I could play, I don't know, what's something else that's probably going to still win me the military that's more flexible. Enemy Informer is probably, mucking up the rest of the board, and because of that mucking, probably still winning me the military challenge, and he's got the flexibility of the Intrigue icon. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. You're here for one less strength, one less cost. You're getting one more strength if you are going to do that military challenge with him, and he's two more strengths, so he can't be killed by Venomous Blade or the many things that kill 2 strength people as well. So
right.
I'm not 100% disagreeing with you because Enemy Informant's one of the top cards in Lannister, but I think they're equal almost, not quite equal, but close. But I love military challenges, so. Screw me.
Yeah. I don't know. Just like all the other hounds, he's just a big dumb beat stick.
There's room for that, baby.
That there is. So what are we feeling? William, you read him, so you grade first.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I think this is back to a playstyle difference, much like Tywin. That's not what I'm looking for in Lannister. He's not bad. He's still got that good cost to strength ratio. So I'd give him like a C.
That's mostly what I'm feeling also. Pretty solid C.
Because of playstyle, I'm just a halfway over. He's a C+. I think he makes all of my Lanny Shadows decks, all of my Lanny King's Guard, when those comes out decks, probably no other Lanny decks, but in those decks, he's strong. He's going to come in and out of shadows if you want. He's going to be 4-6 strength. And be defending against Stark Siege and a bunch of other things that you want him to defend against, or attacking and making sure you get your claim once. So solid, kind of like Good Brother, but more solid than Good Brother.
All right, moving on, going down south.
Going down south.
I love it.
We have Arianne Martell. A unique character. This one is Martell, obviously. S1, 3 strength with an intrigue and a power icon. She is a lady, so treat her right. House Martell only. And a response: after Arianne Martell comes out of shadows, choose and reveal a new plot card.
I mean, that seems awesome.
Yeah. That's a pretty stunning effect. However, the Princess and Arianne Martell exists.
Yes. Another case of two equally good characters.
Yeah.
I'd probably give the old Arianne's ability, the heads up is better, but she doesn't have the ability to stay in shadows if you know the Valor's coming.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Or this Arianne can throw a surprise Valor in the opponent's face. Yep. I mean, I remember, Rings, I'm sure you'll remember this from way back in the day. Favorite Lannister tactic would be to wait until after your opponent had marshaled or something, or maybe go into the challenges phase, and then flip plots within plots, the event, that is, to trade your plot out into Valor.
Yep.
Now, Arianne's not quite that good, but she gives some similar options that are pretty rad.
I just can't see myself playing her over the Prince of the Sun, Arianne. Especially in the game where the meta is right now, intrigue challenges are kind of king. And being able to force through on a good turn a claim 3 intrigue challenge with stealth, it's hard to pass that up.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one is awfully good. I think I would probably be playing this one in a deck that, you know, specifically designed to try some sort of combo with her. Not so much just good stuff, so to speak.
That's fair. Yeah, or in a dedicated Martell Shadows deck, she probably takes the place of the Prince of the Sun, Arianne, but outside of those specific instances, the other one's pretty much superior.
I probably agree. And the Noble Crest outweighs the Noble Crest is really strong in Martell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This one also doesn't have the stealth.
That's actually just what I was looking at. No keyword at all.
Nope. I mean, House Martell only.
Well, sorry. No,
it's actually
applicable
keyword, I guess.
Keyword.
It's rules text. All right, so what are we thinking with Arianne? I'm going to give her a D+. It is a pretty spectacular effect, but it's
and
just
art.
Not good enough. Honestly, which is sad when the effect is that good.
Yeah. It's kind of awkward. Like I said, when she's up against such another awesome version of the character. I hate to do it, but yeah, I think the decks that she's going to fit into are way more narrow. And I'm gonna give her like a D with the slight nod that there are definitely going to be some awesome plays because of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I have a hard time grading them with just one other really good version in there. So I'm still probably going to give her a C+, because I think she's a really good card. If that card said, I don't know, some ship that Greyjoy has that no one gives a crap about, then she'd be an autoplay.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's hard for me to differentiate the two. So I'll give her C+ or B-, right in that range, just because, yeah, I agree. I'm bringing her down a notch because there's a great one with the same name, but God, she's a good card.
All right, up next, we have another Martell card, the Palestone Sword Guard. He's 2 cost, 1 strength, and a military icon. He is a Bannerman and a House Dame. And has the text, any phase, kneel 1 influence or discard 1 card from your hand to give Palestone Sword Guard +1 strength and an icon of your choice until the end of the phase.
That's,
can we all say F and move along?
He's not that bad.
Yeah, I don't.
He's a D-.
He's that bad.
Split hairs.
Know, if there was more command stuff, I would like a cheap, non-unique way like this to chuck a card. He gives you some more Bannerman options for Edric Dane if you really want to, you know, make your guys immune to events and then play Westeros Bleeds or something. But yeah, I just don't really like him much. I think what it is, because I love the Lannister guy. What's the clansman that's 2 cost, 2 strength?
The Tribalist Vagabond.
Yeah, I love the Tribalist Vagabond. I can't talk here. Which has nearly the same ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think what does it for me is the stealth on it. I always have to discard a card, which kind of sucks. The Palestone Sword Guard can just kneel influence. But the stealth is what does it for me. Being able to, you know, slip in on whichever challenge I can, you know, win because of that is pretty rad.
Well, there was one more thing to be said about this guy. He's not very good.
You notice how I did most of my talking about the Vagabond and not the Palestone Sword Guard.
Yeah.
the lack of keyword is really, I think, what kills him.
Yeah. He is a Bannerman for what that's worth, which is very, very little.
I just lost 2 minutes of my life talking about this guy.
Yeah.
Or listening to me talk about a different guard instead of it.
Moving on.
Is anybody else going to rate him? Or
I gave him a D-.
Oh, sorry, I missed you rating him. I'm feeling just like a regular D. Some people are going to experiment with him just for Edric Dane, but he's not going to see use other than that, I don't think.
If you experiment with him, just like Cannon when he experimented in college, you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm. Chlamydia. Moving on. We are in House Stark now with Umber Champion. He's a 2 cost Stark character, 2 strength, military power icon. He is also a Bannerman and has an any phase ability. Discard Umber Champion from play, cannot be saved, to stand each defending character.
Can I just go out on a limb here and say this is a card that maybe actually needed Stalwart?
Yep, absolutely.
Like, this is the sort of effect that I think would actually work well with that keyword. But, nope, they decided not to do that.
Yeah. I mean, he's neat.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a fairly strong effect, I think.
No, it's not.
I mean, depending on what effects you have on your end, of course.
It's not a very good effect.
Okay, it's an okay. You know, maybe I've just been colored by playing with Fox too many years, who really has a hard on for Stark defense. he would love this card.
He would.
If it was repeatable, like some Stark defensive cards are, then it'd almost be good, but it's not repeatable. And he discards himself, cannot be saved.
Yeah.
Thank God for the can't be saved, or else he'd be broken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is kind of funny that they've bothered to start putting that reminder text on most of the cards, because it's long been ruled that if you ever have a card that says, you know, the cost is, like, discard it to do something, if you save it, then it doesn't go off because it was never discarded.
Yeah.
No.
No, this guy's a D.
So, yeah, he is. You know, just kind of wish he was a knight or something. He'd be pretty solid to slip into a Stark Knights deck if you were, but
he'd be neat.
Really? You wouldn't want another cheap 2-drop Bicon Knight?
Yeah, there's none of those.
Not with those 2 icons.
All right. You want that that intrigue?
Yeah.
All right.
And an ability I want to use.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling probably, again, a D on him. But I just want to reiterate again that I just don't really think FFG has quite grasped how to utilize the stalwart keyword to actually make that keyword work for itself or work in conjunction with stuff. The only one I've seen so far is Kyle Condon, and here's a missed opportunity to have, you know, fixed that a little bit, but yeah. Oh well.
I saw something at the Nebraska Regionals. You wouldn't know nothing about it because you didn't come. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a stalwart kind of combo deck going that actually went off, and I wish I would have paid a little more attention to it. But
well, yeah, now you've got me awfully curious.
Oh, gosh.
Was there anyone there sober enough to tell me?
There's one person here, so no. I'm trying to think who it was. Geez, it was someone out of Iowa, but they had a combo going with some star, and it wasn't just Kyle. Now, God, I can't think of what it was. So if I think about it, I'll text you someday. But there's not much. You're right.
Little stalwart holy guy to stand maesters?
Yes, it had to do with maesters. That's true.
Yeah, I've seen that kind of thing before, and that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's right.
But this guy doesn't have stalwart, so moving on.
No.
Yes.
No, it's always a bad sign when you spend most of your time talking about what could have been.
Yeah. All right, William, last card of the pack.
All right, last card
of the first half of the pack.
Oh, yes. This one is a Stark location, Moat Kylan. It is another Shadows card with an S0 cost. It's Westeros and a Stronghold, and House Stark only. And then it says, while defending a challenge with at least one character, your side counts +1 strength for each card in Shadows. And then response, after a challenge is declared against you, bring Moat Kylan out of Shadows.
That's fine.
It's an interesting effect. I kind of dig it because it feels a little bit like Ice in Netrunner.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
Which
I think is pretty spiffy. And I could go for, you know, some more surprise defensive effects like that. Surprise strength buffs I think are kind of underplayed these days. And this is a pretty strong one. It gives you a big surprise in one challenge and then sits there and probably provides a pretty solid boost for the rest of the game.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing about it is the fact that it does give you a chance to bring it out outside of the normal Shadows action. So if you have cards that care about other cards coming out of Shadows, that just gives you more ways to trigger those.
Yeah. If you've got some extra triggers like, I'm trying to think of some stuff that could be
Marjorie Tyrell from the King's Landing cycle.
Yeah, there you go. Marge is nice. The blinking's good. And, of course, the Kingsguard from this pack. But I was specifically trying to think of some that were not out of this pack.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not thinking, unless your opponent is playing a heavy Shadows deck, I don't think Stark is a particularly heavy Shadows house. They have a couple of good options, but outside of, like, Mira and Arya, I don't see really a lot of good Stark Shadows cards.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some solid Shadows-related stuff. The Winter Shadows, Caitlyn, that just shuts down Intrigue completely, is pretty nice.
Yeah. Takes some setup and is vulnerable to control like anything.
Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, you got to be playing Stark Shadows, I think, for this to work, and I guess it's not viable at this point, so maybe it'll be upgraded in the future.
Yeah, I'm thinking D. Unless you're playing Stark Shadows Kingsguard.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Stark Shadows do pretty well in the past, so I'm gonna hold out some hope that something interesting gets put together again there. So I'm gonna just say a solid C.
I'll stick with a D. I just think it's situational, it's defense-based, and any game where you're relying on winning defensive challenges, you're losing some games. So, with all the deadly and stealth and kneeling out there and everything else, I just don't see defensive as being a viable strategy at this point, although I could be changed at that in Worlds this year. But so until it is, that's going to be a D for me.
Yeah. All right, well, those are reviews for the first half of the third pack of the King's Road cycle. If you agree, disagree, think we're brilliant, think we're stupid, let us know. Anyone have any final thoughts about these first 10 cards?
Your favorite card. What's your favorite card out of the first 10?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably Tywin, honestly.
Really? Dang. That is a really tough choice here out of these. I think I'm going to go Shadow Killer, though.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pretty solid stuff here, but Shadow Killer has more the wow factor that's catching me at the moment.
I'll go with Tywin. I still like that if you have more cards than your opponent, you're winning. If you have less cards than your opponent, you're winning.
Yep. So. All right. Well, now on to the big reason that Rings is with us, aside from the fact that I've wanted to have Rings on the podcast for forever.
We've literally been talking about that for like 2 years.
I know. I'm a little disappointed we don't have your other peeps here because I had all sorts of Daryl jokes coming.
I mean, that doesn't mean you can't make them.
Yeah. You gotta make them or bank them and use them here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. So if bear craps in the forest kind of thing. I make fun of Daryl and he's not here, does it still happen?
No, it definitely happens.
Oh yeah. It'll be put up online. Like it can never unhappen.
All right. Well, anyway, it's good to be able to talk Lannister with a couple guys who have on occasion played Lannister at least.
And I played Lannister at Worlds and Gen Con last year and didn't do very well.
I did it at Worlds. What did I play at Gen Con last year? I don't remember now.
I don't know. Nothing good.
Might have played Martell. Rings, were we both playing Martell at Gen Con last year?
Not me.
Not you. Okay.
Rings, you were absolutely playing Martell at Gen Con last year.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I was playing Martell, dumb deck that was boring.
Yeah. BB. Yeah.
I generally have a rough idea what you're playing because we wind up sitting next to each other for most of every tournament.
Mm-hmm. We do seem to go up and down together.
I should say just outside of the winner's bracket.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. And,
Top, right at that, like, almost top 16 where I know I'll be drinking that night early, but I still kind of want to have some fun. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, we never actually get the fun of playing against each other since our last names both start with L-E.
That's your last name? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Lance. No, as you guys know, if I'm at Worlds, I'm playing either Lannister or Martell. That's the only two houses I'll play.
I've never seen you play anything else.
No. This year will not be different. I have at times messed around with Stark, just because, you know, I always like the control they can give me above and beyond, but again, this far in, there's so many intrigue icons in every house that are playable. I could see myself someday playing Stark, but it won't be this year.
So what really drew you to Lannister to begin with then?
You know, of the three icons, I like the intrigue icon the most. And it's the most rare. Maybe you guys disagree with that, because you could make the case for power, but I don't think power affects the game as much as the intrigue and military icon can.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just personal preference. Some people, obviously, if you're playing Vera Rush, that's a different story. But for the most part, intrigue has always been the least favorite of FFG to make strong cards out of. And so Lannister always drew me. And, I mean, look at their strengths. Money, card draw, and kneeling. I don't love the kneeling as much, but money and card draw usually is pretty cool.
Let's be honest. You're just attracted to them for the money since you're a banker, aren't you?
Well, you know, takes one to know one, Mr. Mr. Cannon, and that was part of it. But also in the books, let's be honest, of your favorite characters in the books, how many of them are not Lannisters?
Two.
that I can think of.
My two favorite characters are both Lannisters.
Agreed, yes. My two favorites are indeed.
Yeah. Tywin and Tyrion, Jaime and Tyrion.
Jaime and Bronn.
Bronn.
Okay, never mind. Like, my top five, evidently, are Lannister, now that I'm really thinking about it.
So that also draws you to it, because I do try to play, as you guys know, I hate non-uniques. Mm-hmm. I love cards that hammer non-uniques, because when I want to sit down, I want to say your Red Viper is going against my Jaime. And Lannister's very good at making good uniques, I think, more than many other houses.
They've got a lot of uniques available to them, really, compared to some of the other houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just fun to play, and I think they're fun to play against. And so they've always attracted me to that. I've been a Lannister player since the game came out. The very first, and this is going to go back, and sorry for our short-time players who aren't as old as I am, but there's a magazine called Inquest.
You guys, yes, sir. That's how I discovered that magazine.
It was the gaming magazine. A lot of it was Magic, obviously, but a lot of it was other games, too. This was in the heyday of CCGs coming out every day. And they spoiled the Game of Thrones, and I love the books, and they spoiled it. The card they spoiled was non-kneeling Jaime Lannister.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Military intrigue, doesn't kneel. At that point, didn't have deadly. But the picture was awesome. The card was awesome. And I was pretty much on board, one, with the game at that point, and two, with Lannister. So that's a long answer to your short question.
Well, thanks for sharing.
I'm a share. You know that.
No, I know that.
But how about you guys? I mean, what's your favorite house to play? Is it Lannister? I know both of you guys play with it. Zyler, you're more of a Magic guy. You'll play what you feel is strongest.
Yeah, whatever I think is going to win is what I'll play.
Kennen's less so, but Khan kind of like that too. So
a little bit. I think I tend pretty heavily towards Lanny or Martell. It's very rare that I play a house other than one of those at a tournament, at least. I'll build some to play for side games, but it's normally one of those two for a tourney.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same reasons.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Same reasons, Kenny?
Yeah, actually, almost exactly the same reasons. And it's kind of funny you brought up Inquest there, because that's also how I discovered the game. In fact, because that article came out like a month maybe after I first started reading the books, so it was pretty fortuitous. But when I finally found the game, I didn't realize from the article that there would only be three houses at launch. Mm-hmm. So when the CCG launched for the newbies among us, only Baratheon, Stark, and Lannister were available. But I had just finished reading Storm of Swords at the time, and I was dead set that I wanted to play Martell. Like, I just knew that they were going to be in the game and they were going to be awesome, and the Red Viper was the man. And, you know, so I rushed down to the store and find this and discover they are not a choice. So Lannister was actually my second choice initially.
Well, that's good you have it. That's good we have it. So where are we talking Lannister? You guys think they're good, middle, bottom?
Boy, it's a tough call. We just had that change to the restricted list.
Mm-hmm.
Got Pentoshi Manor back, so to speak. That feels like a pretty big boost to me.
It's a huge boost.
Yeah.
I don't know how many games I've played where I've either had or been up against someone who's gotten, you know, all three Pentoshis in play. And you just sit there and go, man, I can't win challenges anymore.
If you were playing Stark Defense, you could.
You totally could.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm feeling like a, not first place for Lanny, but pretty high. If I were to give them just like a generic letter grade for their standing right now, I'd give them a solid B. They don't feel like the top of the heap, but it's hard for them to ever be at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I probably agree with that. Ring Z. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think, again, I'm a driver, not the car sort of guy. And I think certainly if one of the top players, which doesn't include me these days, but if one of the top players played Lannister, I think they'd have a pretty good chance of doing very well. I don't think the top players are attracted to Lannister right now, but I think that in general they have the firepower to win it under the right guidance. I mean, to be honest, we all know the people who like to play Lannister, Bruno being one of them, us being others, is that it'll have a pretty decent chance. I made top 16 with Lannister last year, and they haven't lost anything now with Pentoshi Manor back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they've gained a ton either, but they haven't lost anything. And I was out of practice and horrible. And to be honest, by the time I made top 16, I was a little drunk. And so I think if I half-sauced can make top 16 with them, if in the hand of somebody who plays a lot and is a good player, like Zyler or yourself, Kenan, or Bruno, or any of the people out east, I think they'd have close to as good of a chance as other ones. So I'd probably put them at a B+. But any house that your pluses are card drawn income, which are the two major thing in any card game, should have that involved.
Well, you know, I just want to butt in for just a moment there for the listeners. To set the record straight here, because Matt is being pretty humble, but I do want to point out that this week we are actually two champs and a chump for real.
We are.
because Matt has actually won a world championship title, and if I recall, was playing Lanny when he did.
It was playing Lanny Knights. Lanny Knights, and I still think Lanny Knights is fairly viable. Probably not top tier, but somewhere up there, and beat one of your other champs for the championship, actually.
Wait, was that the game where you and Greg were both playing knights and you got the knight lead early on?
We're the only two knights in the whole world championship that I know of.
Yeah, and, that sounds.
Yep,
sounds familiar.
I was up two to one on him off after the flop, and Benjamin cashed for another knight. And then I killed his other knight, and it went downhill. He was playing story events, though. People who don't remember story events were very cheesy. And so
it was kind of the maesters of the day, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. That's a very good comparison. So, but lucky enough to win and had to beat John Bruno, who was playing Lanny as well, just to get in the top 16. And it was an amazing game. And his own wildfire defeated him basically in plot 7, mm-hmm. and then went through some very good players and got lucky enough to win. But it goes to show, because seriously, no one was talking about Lannister or Knight's decks going into that tournament. So it goes to show the field's always wide open. And certainly Zyler could say that. No one was certainly, other than your guys' meta and maybe another meta, no one was talking about Baratheon Maesters before Zyler came through. So.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
It's true.
Well, another note related to something you said a minute ago, Matt, talking about what Lannister has or hasn't gotten. And I think that's actually does put them in a tough place, because since Pentoshi Manor was initially released and, of course, enslaved in the same set there, you know, I don't really feel like Lannister's gotten anything that impressive. Especially compared to some other houses that, you know, have really been pushed over the last couple sets, like Targ and Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything big that's come out over, say, the last year for Lanny?
I mean, the new Tywin.
The new Tywin, I think, is strong. I agree.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but I don't know if he's pushing things like let's take the Baratheon example. Dale and Mel's scheme are.
That's true.
At a much higher power level, and maybe it's all just comparative there, you know, compared to what Barra had before. Maybe Tywin just seems less impressive mm-hmm. because of Lanny's current card pool.
I mean, Lanny did get Cersei schemes, which is really strong.
Oh, yeah, that is a good point. That's one.
Lancel's a new good, you know, kind of chumpy body.
Yeah. What's but those are pretty average. What's Cersei scheme? Which one's, the plot that kneels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty strong. But I just went through my whole deck, and to be honest, there's not one card. So in the last year that I could have saw on first glance. But I don't know if that's – you're right. Some houses maybe have some of that, but a lot of houses, unless you're playing Naval or you're playing something that was one of the big themes lately – I don't know if you're really redoing your deck. Again, I'll make the case. Nate, if you're listening – rotation, set, restriction, just something. Mm-hmm. Jesus. just because it gets stale. I mean, I want to play Lannister, and that means I'm playing, including my plots, maybe two or three cards that are different than last year. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, Enzo, well, as far as Lannister archetypes go, what do you think is maybe the strongest Lannister deck? Maybe not what you're playing specifically, but just in general. What do you think the best Lannister deck is right now?
Well, I'd like your guys' input on there. I'd still probably say there's a place for Hyperneil, as long as you put some aggressive card pool in there with some Renown and some maybe Power Behind the Throne. I think there's a place for that. Now I think there's a place for Lanny Shadows again. But I'd say those were would be the two that I'd probably say are probably the archetypes. I mean, Bruno's not that long ago has won some regionals using the aggressive Lanny builds. And then obviously with all the shadow cards that came out, Lanny Shadows has to take a step up.
Yeah, it's already been, you know, seeing some play with the Tunnels deck, which doesn't air much on the control side, but I really think with some of these more repeatable triggers in and out, like Preston Greenfield and you know, some extra draw from Jamie and that sort of thing, I think the control, the classic Lannister Shadows control, could see a big return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I personally really dig Lanny No Agenda with Running Kevin. I'm really digging that deck.
You mean Lannister House Clegane Brigands?
Yes, you could say that.
Yeah, because let's all be honest here. Those are your agenda.
That's actually surprisingly true.
Yeah, and they are really good. And that deck's seen some solid success lately.
Yeah, it's top 16 at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Explain that one too. Who are we talking about?
Oh, the quote unquote agenda, the literal quote unquote agenda, is the Kevin Lannister after he won. I want to say it's. I honestly don't know. It's not terribly important. The real important card is the House of Clegane Brigands, the army. After you win an intrigue, they stand back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I know what you're talking about now. I'm bad with card names. I've done very well so far. But yeah, but that's a solid build.
Yeah.
I always get worried about those ones that have to find a card, though, to. But Martell's had some success, and now Lanny had a little bit of world, so you guys can certainly convince me of it. Just historically, I hate. Where you have to go find a card to get your deck to work correctly.
I don't know. I mean, as far as that deck goes, like, I know the one I'm playing, and I think the one that was at Gen Con that did well was only actually playing one copy of Kevin. It's not terribly important.
Yeah. Mine's playing two, just because I would like to eventually see him. But I've always thought Lannister is the house that was best able to survive without an agenda, who really was least pushed towards any of the agendas. So I don't feel like I have to go, you know, search out one of those cards, be it Kevin or the Brigands, you know, immediately. I feel like I just play a pretty standard Lannister game until I see one, you know, naturally through draw.
Have you guys played some Power Behind the Throne lately? Do you feel it's viable?
I've still got my Maesters Behind the Throne build, as I was calling it, which did pretty solidly through regionals and did okay at Gen Con with Fox piloting it at both of those. It's still, I think, a fast and surprisingly resilient deck, but the restriction of whatchamacallit? Sorry, my brain's shut down now.
The Conclave?
No, the city plot.
Man City Walls?
No. Trade your hand in. Get a new one.
The 3-2-2.
Yes.
Negotiations is a great step.
I'm turning into rings here as far as card games go. The restrictions.
There's been worse things to turn into, just so you know.
Agreed. but yeah, that restriction, I think, definitely did hurt it. It's not not as resilient of a beatdown as it used to be. So I think it's come down some. The more control angled of Power Behind the Throne, I don't think, is really changed much in relative power level or anything.
Yeah, right. I bet your Power Behind the Throne deck is probably pretty similar to the ones that I usually play, where they're pretty aggressive, just taking advantage of having four challenges compared to three. And I think that deck is definitely still pretty solid.
I believe during both the regional system and the and then the worlds, I thought negotiations certainly hurt me more than it helped me. So
really,
I'm thinking about it. Well, anytime you get like six claim two intrigue challenges off and ruin their hand, and then they just draw back up, I certainly wasn't a happy camper. So during both seasons, I thought that card certainly hurt me more than it helped me.
Okay. What about tunnels? We mentioned it in passing. Mm-hmm. Do we think has it moved up or down with some of these new releases?
On the one hand, all the new Kingsguard are really good, and the new tunnels really strong. But on the other hand, along with tunnels being strong, it also makes Passage and Dragon Pit strong, and just general yep. Shadows deck strong, which in turn makes it to where most players are probably end up running the King's Law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a pretty big damper on any Shadows deck.
Yeah. I would say the good thing is I think they match up against that Targ deck decently well because they usually mm-hmm. have more King's Landing locations out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I played Greg, and he loves Dragon Pit. When I played Greg, and we had some really good games a while ago, and he got pretty annoyed the fact that Lannister, almost every one of our good locations, says King's Landing on
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it matches up well with Dragon Pit. But that being said, I've never been a huge fan of a strength-boosting three-cost location, no matter what it does. I'm not sure if it's better with that or if it's just better as it is, just a nice, strong Lanny, I still believe, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I still think they have probably the best set of events in the game.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good ones. And the nice thing is most of Lannisters don't have any sort of resource cost.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lannister's never done influence well, which is good because influence is kind of a bad rule, but game mechanic. But you're right. They're free. They're strong. You can run somewhere between 6 and 12 of them, and you're going to have a very strong event. So I think they're an aggressive house, and having some options that go back into shadows like Preston does, and I'm sorry if we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but...
Oh, no, that's fine.
You got some things where you're putting things back in shadows and the plot that brings them from your dead pile back into shadows. I think it helps give you that lasting effect after they have to Valor turn 3 usually against an aggressive Lanny deck. So I think there's going to be a place for an aggressive Lannister using the Kingsguard deck as well, just as a side theme to be able to survive the Valor.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're mentioning Kingsguard there, and we talked about your Lannister Knight build that you won Worlds with a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Have you fiddled with Lannister Knights much these days, in the LCG era? It still feels to me, when I look at the card pool, like Lanny has, one of the highest knight counts, aside from maybe Baratheon.
Yeah.
But I never really see anyone playing that. Any thoughts on why?
And I've played a lot of games, and at most of these tournaments I have a lot of drinks, but I'm pretty sure last Worlds, I think I played Lanny Knights. Boy, maybe it was the Ice and Fire before that, but it seems like I played a lot of Baratheon Knights, and it kind of scared me away from it. Not that I didn't do well and didn't win my share of games against Baratheon Knights, but... I don't know. You can't play with the shadows, I don't think. And that's what scares me off, is because they're not in play a lot of times when you're counting how many knights you have. I just don't see it. So you're going to have to play a lot of knights that are not shadows and a lot of knights mm-hmm. that are shadows. And there's just too many good cards. You're going to have to play your Pentation Manors. You're going to have to play your Iron Thrones. There's just too many cards to make it work smoothly, while some other viable builds out of other houses have exactly the right number of cards to make it viable, and they don't have to mess around as much. But that's just...
Lannister has too many good cards they have to play.
Yeah. That's true. But none of them are like bombs, other than maybe the event that puts them on back of the deck. I mean, that can just ruin decks. House Divided. Thank you. House Divided, I think, is a bomb. And
I taught Riz how to use that card last year. I remember one of the playtest games before the tournament was I played my second lord and I bounced one of his lords. He quit the game. Not joking. That happened.
Who was that?
It was you. I was playing against you.
Really?
Like the night before the joust?
Oh, okay.
You were drunk.
seems to be a theme here.
Yeah.
And again, Zyler, you're a very good player at doing the wrinkles like that, and I'm very bad at playing two of my own character and balancing their character on that side, which makes it even stronger. I'm getting better at that, but certainly it wrecks Brotherhood. It wrecks...
Brotherhood is pretty much a non-starter now, and certainly once Ygritte comes out, next pack?
It'll be a fourth pack,
Yeah, they'll just be dead in the water completely.
Well, don't forget Cold Hands.
Oh, yes, also. Is he also pack four?
He is.
Oh, I had completely forgotten that now. Yeah, man, what a double whammy to knock down Brotherhood, which they're doubly sucks, because for a while, the infamy Brotherhood decks out of Lannister were a surprisingly competitive build. Now, that's been a while, but I wouldn't have minded that floating back around.
Yeah, that was a fun deck, and I know, Zyler, you played that at Worlds, if I remember right.
I did last year, at Gen Con.
At North Americans. And it's certainly a fun build. It's one of those builds that has a lot of moving parts and can fall apart easily, but I would have liked to see it viable too, but I agree with all the semi-removal and everybody and their dog loves Nightmares, one of my favorite, least favorite cards.
It is huge right now. It's absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, you just see too much Nightmares and you see too much Martell with Gaston Grey.
Yeah,
So, it is what it is. Well, we haven't said much about Lannister other than the fact that they're probably above average and and that in the right hands they could probably do well, but none of us expect them to win Worlds. Is that fair?
Actually, I think so. Yeah. I think a large part of it is because so many of those great cards are a bit older, and a lot of these are well-established archetypes. I think it's all just pretty expected. There's not any big surprises out of Lannister right now that I've seen. I'm going to leave myself the caveat that if someone does come out at Worlds and surprise me, it will indeed be a big surprise.
Yeah, I don't see anyone busting out just a brand-new, brilliant idea out of Lannister. It's probably going to be the same, make some gold, kneel some dudes, draw some cards.
Yep.
Kneeling dudes.
Still efficient.
It's definitely efficient. I wouldn't say it's not.
Just might not be enough to get there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. Didn't they win it like the second year or something like that with Landy Neal out of the LCG era?
Yeah, Alec won with Landy Neal in 2010.
And it hasn't changed. Because of that, I think they haven't added a lot to it, and it just hasn't changed. There's not the nice staple like Cersei's Command in the CCG days. There's just not that thing that can put it to another level, and everything else has came up.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a slightly different tack for the discussion then, because the last three or four folks that we had on, two or three folks that we had on kind of tackled this for their respective houses. What would you say are like a top five kind of underplayed Lanny cards right now?
Jeez. Top five. Well, everybody that knows me, including you guys, probably know Ygritte Small is one of my favorite cards in the entire game. Mm-hmm. So I'd put that up there just because I don't think a lot of Lannisters play with it, and it still is one of my favorite cards of all time.
I would agree.
That would probably be at the top of my list on that side. Other than that, I mean, they have a lot of solid cards that no one would be really surprised with, and it's not like Ygritte Small is not played. So I'm looking through, and I just I can't see. I was always pretty partial until recently. Just putting a bit of a Clansman in with the Tyrion, being able to survive that vow turn. All my decks, as you guys know, are pretty aggressive decks. Daryl tried to bring that to Worlds as well. He tried to emulate it a little bit. I love aggressive Lanny decks, and being able to survive that Valor is nice. And the Clansman Tyrion and Timmit and Chella and the guy who, when he kneels, still defends.
Shaga.
What was that, Shaga?
I think so.
Yeah, they can still defend militaries. Yeah.
Just that whole kind of sub theme. You could probably put 10 Clansmen in, and back then the zero cost for Clansmen, and they were still good. You put all those in there, and that sub theme. I still think there's room for a sub theme of Clansmen. that would do all right with Tyrion. And what's the 2-cost 6-strength one? He's an army.
Clans. Oh, the Armies of the Vale or something like that?
Yeah. Clans of the Vale. Yeah. You know, just a solid card again. So I think if someone puts a sub theme of Clansmen in there, they've helped their deck. But that's personal thoughts.
Okay.
You guys have any gems for me to?
Yeah, that's what I was about to actually ask Brett. See if he had anything to fill in there.
I'm thinking. I can't think of many. I mean, a part of it really is that Lannister hasn't evolved a lot in the last however many years, so I don't know, it's really hard to say. I'm pretty partial. Daryl really got me going on Double Bluff.
Oh yeah,
I really like that card.
I've always loved Double Bluff. I still remember taking a deck built all around using that with high claim plots back to the Trials of the Mad King back in like 2005 maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. And so it's definitely been on my radar since then. And the new updated version of it now that's more flexible to pay gold or influence is pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
I harp on these all the time, but I'm going to throw the Heralds out there, specifically in Lannister because of Tommen and Pyromancer's Cache. They give you the capability to play that Herald, search for the character you need, put it on top, and then immediately draw it. I think the Heralds, I love them in every house, but I think they're actually a little better in Lannister because of the draw. They can grab that character immediately.
Do you think that's the best restricted card then?
The Cache?
Cache.
I see a lot of strong arguments for it, but I have a really hard time not choosing Castellan and Lannister. Mm-hmm. That repeatable control is so good in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hate, boy, that 3-cost spot. You know,
there's a lot of dudes.
I've told FFG.
And he's an ally.
Yeah. I've told FFG, and he's a non-unique. That doesn't hurt people as much as it used to, but at one point people are playing Seductive Promise a lot more. And you still see it at times.
Yeah.
That 3-cost, I keep telling FFG, those cards got to have boobies on it for me to play a 3-cost anymore. There's just so many good ones.
It's like 4-cost out of Baratheon.
Yeah, exactly. Every one of your uniques are 4-cost, renown, and awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I still have a hard time playing with a little bit just because, and I love the card, don't get me wrong, but and it should be restricted. But well, Lanny Shadows can't play it because they already have a limited response in their deck. So.
Yeah,
right. You know, and so in that case, I would definitely look at one of the other ones. And in that case, that very well may be Pyromancer's Cache.
Yeah. And that's the case. I play Pyromancer's Cache. Aside from that, it has to be a really specific deck.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in restricted cards being in your plot deck just because you can choose them.
Mm-hmm.
So I find a lot of mine are in there, especially, again, being aggressive, Fear of Winter. Just one card.
Just one card.
That always seems to be on my top as well. I certainly wish they'd stop being restricted and I'm happy camber.
All right, so I know this was a chat that was going on some last year, and it was kind of invalid for a lot of this year after Hoshi got restricted. But I know last year Lannister got House Divided, Potoshi Manor, and Enslaved in relatively quick succession. Yeah. Do you guys still think that's kind of like the power core of Lannister decks?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is we haven't got something since then.
Yeah.
But I agree. Those are pretty solid. At that point, you also had the 4-5-1 return their hand if you win dominance, if you win initiative. Restricted plot.
Oh, yeah, search and tame.
Yeah. So you just combo all that, and again, a House Divided not only takes away one of their best characters a lot of times, it takes away card draw. Yeah, they get them back, but since it goes on back to the top of their deck,
it dilutes their draw.
Effectively means they draw one less next time rather than just returning it to hand or something else. So,
yeah,
which is pretty handy.
Yeah, it's a strong. We've talked that to death. So
yeah,
Okay. Long story short, good, not great.
Overall, I probably agree.
All right. You can tell I'm the biggest proponent of Lanny ever, and I can't say that they'll win Worlds anytime in the future.
So, I'm going to surprise if a better program Greyjoy to World. He's going to win it all.
What's that?
You're going to surprise us for bringing Greyjoy to Worlds, and you're going to win it all.
You know, I love Greyjoy because I think Iron Mines is, for my type of playstyle, Iron Mines is one of my favorite cards. I mean,
I've seen you play that out of house a lot.
Yeah. I think about it every time, but I'm like, geez, I'd love to play two to save my Tywin or Tyrion or Jaime or Cersei, whoever it is. So I look at Greyjoy really hard. I just can't bring myself to do anything but drink the Kraken.
All right. So any last minute thoughts about Lannister, aside from what Ring's already said? They're good, not great, probably not going to win.
Yeah, I think that pretty well covers most of my thoughts on Lannister right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Props and slops.
All right. Props to everybody going to Worlds.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, Jesus. I think there'll be some good times being had. Last year got a little bit out of control at times. Foxy is coming now, right?
Oh, yeah. He is coming.
He confirmed last week.
Yeah. He confirmed, so that'll be a good time. You guys will be there. I mean, I missed a lot of people at Gen Con, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It just isn't the same. And not that it wasn't fun, but without you guys, it was a different story. So, slops to you guys from Gen Con.
I'd like to point out, I was at Gen Con. I made
not
it.
All. Yeah, you guys had people. I'm just saying the whole group.
Greg and I weren't at Gen Con, basically, is what he's saying.
Yes.
Or Greg, for that matter.
Yes. So, there's my slops and props. Bam. Deal with it.
Nice. Hey, you know, speaking of Worlds, just a more of a general question there. Are you going to be playing in any of the other championships while you're there?
Yeah, we're going to drive down Wednesday night so we can play Star Wars.
Dude, me too, Rings. Nice. We both get round one buys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I won a regional. Bam. So I'll play a little Star Wars, and I don't think I'll do amazingly well, but it'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be fun, and then what's Friday? Anybody?
Friday's the
first day of Netrunner, isn't it?
Yeah. And is that
as far as the runs go? It's the Melee tournament. So
no, I thought it was the other way around. I thought Melee was on Thursday.
Oh, is it?
Because there's a dead day in the middle for Thrones.
I guess maybe.
Huh.
I just look at the schedule. I don't remember.
Unless they've changed it, there's a dead day in the middle, which would mean Melee has to be Thursday and the main event on Saturday.
Jeez, Friday's going to be a storm then. If we got nothing to do.
I mean, I think we'll have a good time. You know, they're going to have beer at the event center now.
Yeah.
And we can just kick back, play some fun games. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to have some war decks around. So I think Civil War's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be something I want to catch some beers and some people to do.
Well, I'll bring my cube, of course, for whoever wants to play old stuff.
Actually, yes, I want in on that. That sounds like a great way to spend Friday.
Mm-hmm. Always a good time, and the liquor store is not far.
Even better.
Which is nice. But, yeah, it should be a good time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I do have one non-world-related prop, though. I started watching Arrow on Netflix over the last week.
Yeah, so
that show was surprisingly really, really good.
It's, you know what really surprises me? After all the hype Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got, and then the Arrow went up on Netflix, you know, just a couple weeks after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, it's amazing how stark the difference is between the two in, like, quality. The first episode of Arrow already seemed way better than the first, like, three of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'd probably agree.
Yeah,
the combat choreography is infinitely better.
Agreed. It just feels like they know what they want to do with Arrow, and S.H.I.E.L.D. still doesn't know.
Yeah,
I agree, and you know I'm a huge Josh Whedon fan, and so maybe that hurt the expectations. But I was watching with my kids the Avengers had Avengers Assemble was a cartoon from like 07.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it with my kids, and I'm like, I would rather watch this than S.H.I.E.L.D. So
I'm gonna keep giving it a shot, but
yep. I agree. We'll
see. Yeah, in the same way.
Yeah,
that's my only prop of the week was to Arrow. I'm shocked by how good that show is.
Oh, spell that. So A-E-R-O, I am out of it.
A-R-R-O-W.
Oh, Arrow. Arrow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Short for Green Arrow of the DC.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool. I'll just try it out.
Well,
William, anything?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One, I'm going to prop my awesome girlfriend, who just spent this whole time that we were podcasting cleaning my apartment for me.
I probably needed it.
Yeah, so I didn't have to do it, which I think is exactly how life should be.
Yeah.
Still sounds like a euphemism.
She's also glaring at me for saying that, but you know what? She can't say I didn't prop her publicly on the podcast.
You did at that. And she's a good girl, and I hope she brings me delicious cookies.
I'll make sure I bring the cookies, but we can't guarantee they make it.
Oh, all right, well, bring me a bottle of Kraken instead.
Okay, that I might be able to do. I may actually bring a bottle of this spice box, too, and make you taste it.
Really? That sounds like a euphemism, too.
Boy, does it. Actually, wow. Everything just sounds like a euphemism at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. But also, come on, Kenny. You're like, I want you to try my spice box. I'm not really grasping at straws at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of walking into that one, huh? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are days I wonder if I am actually Tobias from Arrested Development. I've been thinking about joining the Blue Man Group.
I like it.
But I did have another prop. I'm gonna throw a prop generally to having a whole Saturday where I didn't have to do anything, and more specifically to Mistborn, because I spent that day reading like 300 pages of Mistborn so I could finish the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty rad. I then immediately went out and purchased The Well of Ascension, the sequel, that same day.
Well, I don't want to break your heart, but those next two books aren't near as good as Mistborn is.
Really? That sucks. It's all because Kelsier is unavailable. I don't want to spoil too much for listeners who have not read it. But
that's surprisingly accurate. But I will get you up by saying that Alloy of Law is just as good as Mistborn is.
Yeah, now I do need to pick it up eventually. I saw it was on like clearance at Books a Million in hardcover. But yeah, I was talking with Gorley the other night, and he said that you really disliked the main character of Mistborn.
No, she's terrible.
Really? I actually quite liked her.
Just absolutely awful.
Hmm. How weird. Can we at least agree, though, that Kelsier was pretty awesome?
Yeah, he ruled. I wish he was the main character of the series.
He sort of was.
He was he was a important character in the first book.
Yeah.
What's your favorite fantasy book in the last, because I just don't get to read it enough, in the last couple years?
In the last couple years. I'd probably still have to go with the Kingkiller Chronicles. Those first two books have been really good. Though Sanderson's first novel in the Stormlight Chronicles was pretty friggin' badass.
See, I love Brandon Sanderson to death, but I just couldn't get into that book.
You couldn't? Wow.
I could not.
I don't know. It got me pretty well from the beginning, but I will also say that it starts things really start hitting the fan about three quarters of the way through the book, and it gives you a pretty awesome revelation/cliffhanger ending at the end that I'd say if you're ever willing to go back and give it another shot, I think you'll be impressed with the end.
I might do that. Renz, I'm going to kind of cheat. My favorite fantasy book of the last several years is I'm going to give it to a series, and it's not really fantasy in the strictest sense of the word, but the Dresden Files. Alicia's been reading
through them. That's urban fantasy. It counts.
Yeah, it is. Alicia's been reading through them, and we talk about that, and it's really making me want to go back and reread all of the books now.
Nice. I've heard good things. I haven't. You know what you guys should do?
What's that?
What's that?
Put these on your Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. We could do a little Two Champs and Chump recommends, maybe.
Yeah. Just do what we talked about tonight. My favorites would be Joe Abercrombie's.
Ooh,
you guys heard
those?
Oh,
the first Law trilogy. I love that.
Yeah.
Is he the guy
that came out with Heroes? The Heroes is the self-contained one that came out pretty in the last year. Yep. That was the Heroes is one of the best fantasy books I've read since maybe Storm of Swords. So
it's really good.
I probably ought to give it a try. The only one of his that I've read, and I didn't make it all the way through it, was the title Best Served Cold or something like that.
That's definitely his weakest book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And Best Served Cold, is that the one with a gal in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one got better later on, I agree, and it helped to know the people involved, that's for sure. I started with The Heroes, which is self-contained, and then went to the rest, and I certainly recommend doing it that way, even though that's not how he wrote them. But certainly The Heroes was my favorite the last couple of years.
It's a good book. I definitely recommend it also.
Cool.
Yeah.
Put them up on the website so I can see your guys', because I won't remember this tomorrow.
we'll link them up. I'm willing to link mine. I'll leave Brett to do his own, however he sees fit.
Get around to it.
Basically, what you're trying to say is Kenan will do it for you.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, yeah, evidently.
All right, any last thoughts?
Only because there haven't been any slops yet, and it's been a long time since I've slopped anything, I'm gonna slop customers that come in 5 minutes to close and then want something complicated.
Yeah.
Most people should know, like, if they go into, say, a restaurant that closes at 10 and it's 9:50 and they want to sit down and have a meal, it's kind of a jerk move. And, you know, it's the same thing in any line of work when you go do that. So, come on, people. The hours are posted pretty publicly.
Yeah. Well, I worked at GameStop for 5 years. I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
People come in at 8:58 and want to just browse for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, Kenan, that stuff doesn't happen in Wayne Banks. So that's just another plus.
It doesn't. Wow. Yeah. You guys have higher brow clientele than we do.
Yes, we do.
There's only three people that live in that town, and they all come in early.
And employees, much higher brow employees. So
you would.
I'm sure you guys are much higher brow than myself.
Door's always open, baby.
All right. I'm gonna pause on that one for now, but you never know. You never know. I've got Kristen staring at me right now, so.
All right. Well, Rings, thank you for joining us. It was long, long overdue.
Mm-hmm. Well, just bring me in for 5 minutes so I can make friends with Daryl sometime, and then I'll be happy.
We can probably make that happen.
We can do that.
All right. Well, so I just want to thank you for another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. Enjoy us next week as we hit the last house in our series. We finish up the review of the Kingsguard pack and the King's Road cycle. Until then, enjoy. Hey, Rings, you got a Danger Zone for us?
Danger? Nope.
That was good enough.
Here, hold on.
Danger Zone!
That works too. Turn around, there's nothing to see here.